We just read, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And I had mentioned at the end of last week's class, or Wednesday's class, we came to the end and the buzzer went off, and I was using expressions like father, like son. And, you know, we talk about being peacemakers. Think about our Father in heaven, and in respects to that, how did He make peace? But in the reverse of like father and like son, are we His children? From that respect, do we act like His children? And look at, well, I've got here listed quite a few verses concerning our Father. And hopefully you looked at those. It's just many, many verses calling our Father the God of peace, and the God of love and peace. And then we can look, and all we look at Isaiah and the many names he has for Jesus Christ. And he's called the Prince of Peace. Of course, he is the Son of the Father, making the Father in the idea of a prince, okay, relative to that. Now, we're part of this as well now. How do we fit into this relationship? Colossians 1, verse 9. Are we like the Father? We have to consider the price of peace. Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20. For it was the Father's, notice, good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through the blood of the cross, that's how peace was made for us. May we never forget this. This is the greatest sacrifice ever made. It was made on our behalf. It was made by the Father. It was made by the Son. Are we willing to be people who will sacrifice to make peace? That's going to be our very next beatitude. It's going to have a cost. Linda talked about it's going to have a cost. She brought up that within our family, strife within our family. And are we willing to be peacemakers? And this is what we're talking about. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons of God. Are we willing to take that peace, and when we're trying to make it between men and God, are we willing to take that step and be like the Father in that respect? Romans chapter 8. Verse 16. For the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. This is just leading us to our next lesson, and that is indeed that we will be persecuted because of this. But if we're making peace with men, between men and God, if we're going to that limit, it's going to happen. And because people just don't want to hear that message. But we are heirs with Him. And we don't have to turn to 1 Peter 4 through 5. But it talks about their God, because we're going to read this again in the next lesson. I've ended my lesson with this verse. And it talks about this inheritance with God. We've already mentioned here an inheritance. And it's going to be imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We all know this verse. It's one of those verses we read that gives us a matter of peace. And only peacemakers will receive this blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. If you would turn to the next lesson, lesson 11, and this leads us right into that, unless somebody wants to make a comment. And that we read Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, verses 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are those who've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kind of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I don't have to restate it. Over and over, we've talked about this was not the message that the Jews were expecting. This audience was not expecting a Messiah and a kingdom to come to them in this way. Now, you know, now we get to the point where it's an extreme beatitude. It talks about suffering. It talks about, basically, you know, we're going to be persecuted. And Jesus has gone through this and said some very, very shocking things, has he not? Things that these people have already taken, like you know, okay, wow, here comes the Messiah. We're gonna go to war. We're gonna whoop these Romans and everything. He said some shocking things. He started off by telling you, blessed are the poor in spirit. And now, blessed are those who are persecuted. He's gone from things that, well, they were kind of bad, but this is extremely negative, we might say. And if we see, you know, this idea of our sinful condition, you know, and all these things, we follow this pathway, I believe, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, we see our spiritual poverty. Blessed are those who are mourned. Blessed are those who mourn. You know, we're bereaved because of our death. Blessed are those who are gentle. You know, we're trusting, we're putting our whole, we're allowing Jesus to take control. That's how gentle we are. We're submitting to Him 100% our will and to His will. And then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is God's grace has been given to us. We're wanting this very much. Now we've got this living, working faith. We're living by truth. We're living by righteousness. We're walking in that direction. And because of this, we're going to be persecuted. Because of this, for the sake of righteousness now, we're going to be persecuted. And we want to be people who are blessed. We want to receive these blessings. We want the kingdom. We want comfort. We want, you know, the inheritance of the earth it talks about here. We want satisfaction. We want mercy. We want the ability to see God. We want to be called sons of God. Now, do we want to be persecuted? This word persecution is from the Greek diokeo. It's the idea of put to flight, to drive away, to persecute. This idea of being hunted. Turn to Acts chapter 8. That's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And we got to go back to the thought because it brings into the thought that happened. What happened at the end of Acts chapter 7? We have a man by the name of Stephen. He's been put to death. He's been stoned to death. Persecution. Why? Because he was talking to them about the message of peace. He was telling them the same thing that was told people in Acts chapter 2 that made them repent, that they had put to death the Messiah. They didn't want to hear this. He didn't get to finish the rest of his speech. You know, this infuriated them, and they started casting rocks and killing him. Acts 8:1 says, Saul was hardly in agreement with putting him to death, Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution against the church in began against the church of Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church. Now, we're talking about our definition here of persecution now. Began ravaging the church, entering the house to house, and dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered, remember we talked about hunting and it puts them to flight and makes them go off and everything. They noticed here they were scattered and went about preaching the word. They were still preaching this message of peace that brings us to this point that we will endure persecution. Look at Luke chapter 14. The thing about Jesus is, we talked about this from the beginning, it takes honesty. Jesus is being honest with us. He's taught us about all these blessings and everything and tells us how to receive them. And he tells us we're going to have some things we're going to have to put up with. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 and 28. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Now, you know, we think of people carrying the cross, and I remember right here on that one street next to us, I seen a guy walking down the street, had a cross on his shoulder with a little wheel on the bottom of it, and he was carrying his cross. And I see people wear little necklaces, and I'm not saying yay or nay about them with a cross around their neck, you know. But if we got that idea, we are totally wrong. These people here knew what it was. Jesus wasn't the first man who was crucified. That wasn't the first time that happened. When Jesus said, you must carry your cross, these people in that day knew what he was talking about. They'd seen it before. They'd already seen men carry their instrument of death on their back, carrying it, toting it out there to a place to be crucified, and knew what the next thing was.
They also had the Old Testament examples. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about, not just, you know, killing, but stoned in Psalms.
Right, right.
Thrown in lions' dens. I mean, you know.
Exactly. We've got a whole list of even New Testament, but she's bringing up the Old Testament points. You know, when you go to Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith and the things that those people endured. Is that where it says one was sawed in half, I believe?
Sawn in two.
Yeah.
Tempted.
Right,
death,
right. And
down in sheepskins, you know, all those things. And then it carries on into chapter 12 because it ends up with Jesus.
Exactly.
You know? And so.
Exactly.
So
these people knew. And then the second verse there we read about calculating the cost, talking about honesty. Jesus is telling this story, and his very last beatitude is telling us, you're going to be persecuted. He wants us to calculate the cost. Do I want to be a citizen of the kingdom? Will I endure that? Will I be willing to endure that? So, you know, we have to look at this. If we want the blessings, we got to recognize the very last thing, that persecution. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Rocky.
It's interesting right here where you're reading in Luke, sandwich in between the verses you read, kind of give us some examples about how far you have to go. So you go to verse 26, you know, you got to hate your own father and mother, so family, you cannot be my disciple. And at the end of it, you go to verse 33, you cannot be my disciple, you don't give all his possessions. So it just tells you that, you know, how far we have to go. You basically have to go all the way.
Yeah, it is. It's an all the way thing. And that's why Jesus, in a sense, saved this till the very end. You know, it's kind of like of the Beatitudes. You know, boom, boom, okay, well, I can endure that. But can I endure this? You know, it's like driving the nail in. You know, do you want these blessings? Here it is. You'll have to go all the way. Exactly as Rocky said here. So, but persecution isn't just getting rocks thrown at you. It isn't just getting sewn in half. It isn't sawed in half. It isn't just getting crucified. We see other things. You know, Rocky talked about the family there. And our Sermon on the Mount, verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kind of evil things against you because of me. So there's many persecutions. These are the ones that we're going to commonly fall into, okay? Think people are going to say things about us. Look at back in Luke, if you'll allow me to jump back and forth here. Chapter 6, verse 22. Luke 6, verse 22, and these are just many more words. Blessed are you when men, notice, hate you and ostracize you, and this is one we see a lot, and insult you. We've all, if we're practicing this, we've all felt this, and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. You know, I've been called at work, I might as well be dead. If I'm not, you know, if I'm not drinking, if I'm not smoking, and if I'm not chasing, another word for women, then I might as well be dead. And the guys just couldn't understand me. But still, they didn't know what the blessings I do have. and on in life, they're seeing these other things. But sometimes we will have to suffer these things, and sometimes we'll see we'll have to suffer more. Right here, there in verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you. If you're trying to be friends with the world, it doesn't mean you can't have friends. It doesn't, because we know one of the examples as an elder should be, he should have a good rapport from those in the world. But this is talking about something different. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets the same way. We talked about this last Wednesday in our lesson. There was a people going around going, peace, 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 when there wasn't peace. What about when us? When we need to be making peace between men and God. When we need to take a stand to sit there and tell them, well, that's wrong, that's sin. Or will we be the type of person that we just want to make friends. We just don't want to say nothing.
I know I lost four friends in one day. They were sitting at lunch, and they started talking about how they were saved. And all of them, of course, had mm-hmm. that little feeling in their heart with
yeah,
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they were all into different areas of Holy Spirit movement. And so we got to talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up some passages from the Bible. And not only, they got up and left the table. And like that insult, they says, you do not believe in the Holy Spirit is God, you know. And so they put that on me. You know, I do believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, and His work. But not as they perceived it. And would not talk to me anymore.
That's exactly
and
right.
So it is sad. You know?
I know. My mother had a lot of Baptists in the Whitehead family. And she was, of course, a member of the church, and she wasn't well received either. And we understood that early on, but that was fine. Linda brought up this verse last week, Matthew chapter 10. Rocky mentioned it from Luke, but Matthew chapter 10, I believe, shows a little bit more. Verse 34, do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, well, I thought Jesus came to bring peace. What's the two words there? Not but, okay? But a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. A man's enemies shall be the members of his own household. I mean, I've had this with my father. I mean, I don't know, some of you probably heard me tell this story, and I'm not sure I handled it the best way. My daddy sat there and said, well, God is a fool, right there in front of Jamie and Amy. And, you know, I don't know how this discussion got to this point. He said, you know, my father was not a Christian. And he said, he made men, and then he had to kill them in the flood, and he said he's sorry he done it. And if he's so smart, then why did he do that? Well, I tried to explain to Daddy why I felt that way, you know, what the passage meant. Ah, well, God's just a fool. And I looked at my daddy, because I'd looked at my Jamie and Amy was sitting there doing this. And I go, Daddy, the only foolish person I see in this house is you. I called my father a fool. Okay, and we're going to talk about that in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not sure I handled that best, but I felt like for my children's sake, I had to say something. You know, so we all endure this. If our family's big enough, now I say I'm the most blessed man, maybe sitting in this room, I don't know. I mean, Jamie, Amy, James, and Tammy, I thank God, and this is the thing, I work and I strive, and even if you work and strive, it may not happen. I can tell you some stories about James that I thank Steve Fontenot. I'll praise that man till the day I die for the things he had the effect on James before James went off in the military. But anyway, we all endure this, and it's a hard thing within the family, the hardest thing. But sometimes we try to go to make the peace maybe too far. Sometimes, I mean, and I can understand within our immediate family, but sometimes we go out there and we become our own family. We got to let go of some things out there. Don't mean you forget them. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to make peace with God first, and we don't need to concede our faith, is my point. Okay? And we all have probably had problems with this. But, you know, we talk about this persecution over and over, and what have we done to deserve this? 1 Peter chapter 3 asks somewhat this question in a way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But in the very next verse, he tells us something. 1 Peter 3, 13, he says, who is there to harm you if you prove to be zealous for what is good? Isn't that exactly what we're doing if we're following the Beatitudes? But notice, But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. And we could read all this and learn much more about we should always have a make a defense. You know, we should always be ready to make a defense. And that's what we have to do. We have to be peacemakers in that respect. But we're not to fear in that. But you think about it, why would somebody do that? Why do people persecute us? You know, because we're people of that we're trying to extend mercy. Here, you know, we're having an answer. We're trying to give an account. We're trying to extend peace to them. Why do they persecute us? Just going back to the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and what we've got here. Blessed are those when they have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Righteousness is the number one reason. And number two reason, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely and say all kind of evil against me because of me. Because, just simply, Jesus Christ. And there's a third reason implied in the last verse there, and we'll read that when we get to it. But Jesus said it's because of righteousness and directly because of Him. And the first reason we want to look at that is because of righteousness. Turn to 2 Peter 3:12, and this will just kind of, since you're right there close, 2 Peter 3, verse 12, and it's just going to fall in line to exactly what Jesus has said so far. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, if you got any doubts about it, and remember we said there's many forms of persecution. Okay, we're not saying you got to have your toting your cross, you got to be stoned. Don't have to be sawn in half. Okay. There's other forms. You're going to be insulted. People are going to say evil things about you. Things are going to happen to you in a way that aren't pleasant. But it's going to happen. But why John chapter 3 is the best explanation why people are the way they are about this. John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Jesus speaking here. And of course, He's the one who suffered more and can tell us more about this than anybody. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. Okay? But he who practices truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest and having been wrought in God. The one who comes, and notice here, we practice truth. John is the same one, says we practice righteousness in the letters as well. We practice truth. We practice righteousness. We'll be the type of person we're wrought in God. God's forming us. He's fashioning us to be what we should be. If we're practicing truth, it doesn't say we're perfect there. It says we're practicing, we're working toward these ends and means. But that means we have to be letting our light shine. And this brings us to the next point. And to me, this is why all this falls in line and over in Matthew chapter, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about persecution. We've talked about all these Beatitudes that bring us to this point. It's made us this person we are. We've been saved. We're seeking righteousness. Now we're trying to extend mercy. We're trying to extend this message of peace because we're 100% servants of God. We're trying to be pure in respect to serving Jesus Christ. And so a byproduct of that is we just want to be like Jesus. We want to be like sons of God. We want to tell other people and bring them to the light of the truth of this message. He says we're going to be persecuted. In verses 10, 11, and 12, in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again if it's no longer good anything but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by man? He's given us that warning. You're the salt of the earth. He says again, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone set a lampstand and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Some people that minority will see your good works. If you're letting your light shine, if you're working toward this end, there are going to be some people, and I'm not talking about like we might individually save people. You might live your whole life. But as a whole, if we, if this congregation are letting our light shine, you're going to have people who are like some of these on the back row who were of other faiths. We got a lady who's a Baptist sitting next to a man who was a Catholic. So if we let our light shine, then we're going to have people who were not Christians, weren't brought up in the church, and maybe others here. I'm sorry not to mention everybody. But one in particular there at the end, who weren't raised in the church, and I don't know everybody's history here, my wife's including, that you have come to the truth out of other things. Some who have were just not believing in God at all. Okay? So we have to let our light shine. But unfortunately, most people aren't going to be praising God because they see your light. We have to come to an understanding of that, that they're going to be wanting to persecute you because they don't like the things that you're saying because you've exposed their deeds of evil. You know, you think about it. Here in the church, Steve gets up and preaches a sermon on a movie that, you know, maybe he don't think is right. He gets up and talks about people's dress and says, well, you know, I don't think that's right. You know, and it gets up, some people upset and they say things. And that's just within the church. Myself, when I grew up as a kid, you know, I grew up, family was, mama was a Christian, daddy wasn't. And, you know, I had this rock and roll music going over. And when I become a Christian, I got rid of all my records. All my Bad Company, my Lynyrd Skynyrd, and all this stuff that I thought was so bad and everything. Then James, which I told you gave me struggles, you know, he sat back there and brought in some music, and they started cussing. That wasn't rap music. They cussing rock and roll, too. And they started cussing. I heard that, and I walked by, and I walked in there and got all mad and breaking, wanting to break CDs and stuff like that. And I went back and bought all my Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bad Company music, and he started listening to that stuff because it was better than what he's listening to. So I don't know what's right and wrong. Okay, that's kind of getting into my point. I'm not going to sit up here. But this is just my point. Even within the church, it makes such a difference. When we just get up and say, I think that dress may be a little revealing, you know? Well, all of a sudden, somebody else's temperature rises. Now, when we're out preaching the truth, when we're out, you know, not about these, maybe, if you'll allow me, gray areas, okay? These things that are maybe a matter of opinion, and I'm not, and some of these opinions are right. I'm not dismissing things Steve said. That's not my point. That's not my point to say that. But my point is there are gray areas. As Christians, we understand that. And so we see how this affects us just within the church. Now, how about when we go talk about people who are Baptist Catholics, okay? We start talking about drinking. Well, now, wait up now. You know, I drink every now and then. Well, come on. And we start talking about gambling. Well, my brother-in-law, well, sexual sin, my brother-in-law is living with this woman and going to church right now with this woman because her daddy was a preacher. And they're in sexual sin. And that's religion nowadays. And that we're not even talking about the people we're going to be talking to who aren't religious. Just living religious. You may not say nothing. Just you can teach in a way just by setting the good example. Just by living a righteous life. Just by living a pure life. And people are going to see that. And you're going to infuriate them. And you're going to be persecuted because of that. People are going to say things simply because of that reason. The second reason was Jesus said, they'll say all kind of evil things against you because of me. Turn to John chapter 15. And I need to say something. Last week I was in John 14. And I'm going to say this while you're turning over there. And I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if I said it directly or indirectly. But if I said something to make you think we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is not true. Okay? We received the promise of the Holy Spirit because the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. In that, we have salvation. Okay? And that's found in Acts chapter 2. And you'll find that whole lined out in Acts chapter 1 and 3. If I said it directly or indirectly, if I implied that, then I made a mistake. But right now we're in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 20. And Jesus is going to say here, if the world hates you, talking here again to his apostles, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 18, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you keep my word, they will also keep yours also. Here's, you got the two type of choices of people here, but for the most sake, most will persecute you. And that's no different for us today. Jesus tells us that message. Timothy told us that message. If you live righteous, you will be persecuted. And this is indeed the second reason. Just because Jesus was Jesus. And belief and obedience to Jesus is going to attract anger of people of those who refuse to accept Him. We know that Jesus was a stumbling block. We know that He was a rock of offense. To the Jews, He was a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, He was foolishness. So why should we expect, if we follow Jesus, for people who think that way, not to consider us foolish? Not to consider us a stumbling block? When respect is the other way around.
Excuse me. I think it goes back to where Jesus began, and you began with Beatitudes. It's the poor in spirit.
Exactly.
Versus lovers of self. You know, over in 2 Timothy there, where Paul is telling Timothy about his ministry, he says, men will be lovers of self. And then they do all
exactly.
those things, you know, that we may be caught up in, like lovers of money, and even without self-control, are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so, see, it goes back to the heart. And people out there who see you trying to serve the Lord are will ask, and if you do what you're telling here,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they have the right kind of heart, then they will be open to it. But the ones that love self and what they're doing and want their comfort zone, then they're not going to. They're going to.
Exactly. That's why I believe blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I believe that's just somebody singly devoted to Jesus Christ. It begins from the heart. We have two choices to make, and that's exactly what I believe Linda's saying. We do struggle with the world. We do struggle with the flesh, but we have to be people who keep coming back to Jesus. When we see things, okay, I need to turn from this. We do struggle that. We don't want to leave anybody thinking like pure, being 100%, which in a sense we have to be 100% toward Jesus Christ, but we got to recognize there's times when we slip in that area. We got people who practice righteousness, and it is exactly as she says. It's because people are lovers of self. They are lovers of the world. Now, the third reason, which is tied in with the very first reason, is implied in verse 12. I'll just read, "Rejoice and be glad." I wrote all this up here. "For your reward in heaven," Matthew 5, verse 12. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." He's implied that the prophets were persecuted. Why were the prophets persecuted? What did they do to make them persecuted? Somebody answer that for me. Why did they persecute prophets?
All the above.
All the above. They preached the truth, didn't they? All the above. It just goes back to that. You know, and here, except they didn't preach Jesus, but they did. They didn't know He was who He was. And yes, sir, they did. Matter of fact, they did very much so. But here's the thing. We have to be letting our light shine, and we have to be, as these prophets, we have to be preaching Jesus. And if we're doing this, we got to expect persecution. It's going to come about. All people want blessings, comfort, mercy, peace. Everybody in the world wants that, but they don't want it God's way. So when you're preaching God's Word, most people don't want to hear it. They don't want it that way. Most people don't want to be restricted to God's rules. They don't want that restriction in their life. They don't want anybody telling them, well, I can or can't do this, you know? And if we're doing that, we're trying to make peace between man and God, then that's going to happen. It's just something most people will not like to hear it, just like the prophets of those days. And when we teach it, we got to expect persecution to come our way. Now, I've got a list, and I'm not going to, for time's sake, go through this list. We read, I'll put it over here, the New Testament proof of persecution. And Linda, as well, said there's stuff in the Old Testament. I just listed some of these in the New Testament. We'll read, if we get time, there, Acts chapter 5, and the Peter and John, of course, the apostles in Acts chapter 5. Stephen, we talked about that and read that. He was stoned to death, the great persecutor of the church. We actually did read this. Paul, you know, we could read that long light list of things that Paul went through, and we all know it. We all know that when Ananias went to baptize Paul, he told Jesus Christ, he said, "This man's persecuting the church in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Yeah, and I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer in my behalf." And we can go through here this 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, there's my ditto. That should be 33 instead of 35. I just have to have one mistake in every one, at least one. Let me say at least one. But we know Paul suffered greatly for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of Christ. And I put this other point in here, the early Christian writings and Roman persecution. We know about Nero and how he blamed the other Christians, and we know about the Colosseum and the lions and all the many tortures that they went through, and the extreme persecution. And of course, if we want the reward listed here, and it says, you know, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're talking for the last point here, the kingdom of heaven. Yes, sir?
What was that correction you mentioned? Was it
2 Corinthians 11, Paul. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11.
So that should be
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's not a 35. I don't know why.
Okay, 23 through 30.
Oh, yes, sir. It's 23 through 33 is what it should be. I'm talking like an auctioneer here. I can feel it. I'm rubbing on my lips. I got 7 minutes, and I know I'm this time thing, but I want to get in. We're getting out of the Beatitudes today, so I do want to finish today. Matthew chapter 5:10 tells us that we will receive the kingdom of heaven. But that is the same thing he said when blessed are the poor in spirit. The first one will receive the kingdom of heaven. But when we receive the kingdom of heaven, one thing, we receive every blessing that's in between. We're in his kingdom. We're in the king's kingdom. We're going to receive every one. These are somewhat repetitive, but why in the world did he go and give this to us twice? I think it's because now he's telling us, because we're being persecuted, we're being put to flight, we're being ostracized, we need this reminder now. You're going to be persecuted, but you're going to get the kingdom of heaven. Yes, sir, Rocky.
John, you made a real good point there. I think we talked about this when we started the Beatitudes about what the word blessed means. And sometimes when we look at these Beatitudes, we should think that it's just talking about heaven. I mean, it's all the spiritual blessings.
Exactly.
We got these blessings right now.
Yes.
Part of the citizens. And just,
we're inheriting the earth right now.
We should be really rejoicing and just, you know, thrilled about all these things that we have, all made possible through Christ. So, it's all the spiritual blessings we have today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we inherit the earth, it's basically saying we're inheriting all these blessings in the kingdom, in the earth today. We're in the kingdom. We've got all these blessings. We're the people, the greatest people there are. We're the most blessed people that are sitting in this room right here and in that room over there. All those other people out there are not us. They don't have it as good as us. They might not get persecuted for the sake of righteousness, but guess what? They're going to live this life. They're going to have some hard things to endure. There's going to be some bad things to endure. Rocky's going through a bad spell right now. I don't think Rocky means, but that's what I'm saying. We all have to do this. We're persecuted for the sake of righteousness, not just the persecutions that we naturally go through with life, not just getting old, and not just the things that happen, not just like my brother who was killed by a drunk driver. It's not just those things, okay? We're talking about for the sake of righteousness. Right, Rocky, we receive the kingdom and all the blessings therein. Yes, ma'am.
I know you're in a rush, but, you know, to make clear my thinking, you know, the kingdom, it's not a place.
Exactly.
It's rule.
It's rule.
And so if I'm going to be like that,
it's a spiritual kingdom.
It's Christ ruling in my heart. And then if I do these things and he rules my heart, I will be this. If you know, I'm going to be in the kingdom of heaven because it's rule. He's ruling my heart. Then verse 12 says, my reward for letting Christ rule in my heart is heaven.
So, exactly. You know, the ultimate.
We don't need to cross over and say, you know, kingdom is just heaven. It's rule of Christ.
Exactly.
So if I don't do these things, I'm not a part of the kingdom because he's not ruling in.
That's our very next point. On earth. Look at yes, sir.
Just to build on Linda's point. So we got the rule here. When you look at this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, it can be used in seven different ways, but all centered upon rule. But one of the ways, and I think it's being used here, both in verse 3 and in verse 10, also talks about, it can also be the blessings of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's the point. You're receiving the blessings of the kingdom. You submit to the rule, these are the blessings you receive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It can mean other things too. It all depends on the context. But I think in this here, it's the blessings of the kingdom.
It is. Yes, sir.
I think, you know, when you look at the first 12 verses where we're at right now, and you see all this, what you talk about, the progression we see, and then you get down to verse 13 through 16, and this is what you become. If you do all these things, poor in spirit, mourn, hunger and thirst after righteousness, well, then you will be the salt of the earth. You will be the light
exactly.
of the world. And those are the things that you become based on what the progression and the way you go through this.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm trying to get to that point. I'm trying. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but no, y'all are making excellent. And the point being made is Matthew 16, verse 18 through 19, and we all know this verse. It says, "But I say to you that you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He's talking about the blessings we receive right here on earth. One of them is the kingdom in respect to the church. We are blessed within the church. These things loosed and bound on heaven. We have the message. We have salvation today. We have all these things within the church. And what a blessed people we are. We have these blessings now. Yeah, the second thing and the third things we've got listed here, 1 Peter 1, 4 through 5. And I said we've got to read that one because that's the one I didn't read because I said we was going to read it in this class. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry, I'm going fast here, and I feel I have to for this. In this way, we are surprised that you do not run from... Oh, yeah, that's right. In this way, that they are surprised that you not run from them in the same way, in the excess and dissipation that they malign you. But they will give an account of him as ready to judge the living and the dead. Am I in the right place?
First Peter 1.
Six and seven, yeah, yeah. For the gospel is the perfect priest, even... Well,
First Peter.
Somebody read that to me. I'm obviously in the wrong place. Rocky, would you read that?
It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 6.
I'm in chapter 4. Go ahead.
Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been stressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor and revelation.
Exactly. This is it's imperishable, it's an inheritance, and it will not fade away. Okay, I was in chapter 4, and that's another reason why I'm not getting a big giant rush, but I tend to do it. Thank you, Rocky. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And the ultimate end is heaven. I mean, yes, we have these blessings upon life, but there's nobody in here looking for just the blessings on life. We know that. We're all looking toward heaven. Acts, I'm talking and not turning. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Excuse me, Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider the sufferings, and here's where we get back to sufferings. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory with us, with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We know that we're going to suffer. And Paul suffered, and he had a choice whether staying or whether to go on. He wanted to stay for the love of those who was round about him, and we should be that way. But we all know that we've got a blessing beyond this life, and it's not to be compared with anything we can have in this life. Even the blessings we have in Christ today. There's going to be things that's going to be immeasurable. There'll be things that we cannot understand, things which we cannot even explain. Now, the next point here, we're supposed to rejoice. Look at James. We'll just go over to James chapter 1. I had a lot of things I wanted to say, but like I say, I want to get out of the Beatitudes, and we might end up right here. And I hate to do this way, but Consider it all the joy, my brethren, when you enter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith, notice, produces endurance. And let your endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We can rejoice, but this will make us stronger in life. We're being tested. We're being tried. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, if I can get to 1 Peter chapter 1 instead of chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I want to read this and get this thought here. For in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while it is necessary that you have been distressed by various trials, so that your proof, notice, the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even by the testing of, notice, by fire. You're being tested by fire when you're persecuted, when these things are coming on you, may be found in the result of praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know that we're in Christ. We know that we're receiving these blessings. And we know that our faith is going to grow stronger. We're going to endure more. And all these things are for our good. And that's hard for us to understand. But both our brother Peter and brother Paul just told us that very thing. And both of them endured very much for our sake. So let's stop right there. And we know that we have heaven beyond that as well. Thank you.